This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Well, don't you
worry, baby. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Time for the Think Tank. We do it every Tuesday at 4. My buddy Ray Hartman is here with Mike Elam and Wheeler's already committed to not fight with you, Elam. So
we're going to be on peaceful terms today.
Are you seriously committed to that?
He's going to team up with you.
I mean, I say that now.
Yeah, that's what he said last time.
I'm like,
time,
wait
too.
Till I say something, and then here comes Devil's Advocate rolling in like
There's
a Mack truck.
Better than arguing with people you like.
Mack.
I've never seen a human argue like him.
Yeah,
and I went to law school. I've never
stupid.
Seen anyone do it.
It's a sports radio thing, man.
I think you're right.
Sports radio show out. You've got to figure out how to argue with callers.
You don't even have to figure it out. It just happens.
Well, that's true. that's part of the interview process of being a sports radio talk show. You know, can you argue with callers? And yes. Okay,
yes.
You're hired.
Yeah, that's yeah,
no, no joke, man. On the national radio days, that's exactly what ended up happening. It wasn't even planned. It's just what happens when you have full phone lines, people calling from all over the country about all different things. You're going to have that.
Yeah.
Well, and they're all super passionate about it.
Yeah.
And they're sure they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I've been married for a long time, so I haven't been right in 33 years.
Yeah. You don't even think about
it. It's so nice to just have that lifted off your shoulders and know right away.
Well, I have a 19-year-old girl, so I can
do it later. That's it. It works the same way.
Dave's a part of the know-nothings.
Oh, I'm a complete
anybody,
idiot.
Anybody with a grown kid, a young adult kid.
Just so stupid.
Yeah. It gets better when they get older.
Yeah.
My first
Agreed.
Media gig, believe it or not, before Donnybrook, which was 87, was 2 years on WGNU.
Oh, I remember
And
that.
We had, in 2 years, I think I had, when you talk about sparring, I think in 2 years we had 7 calls that weren't about race. So I would have rather had sports, to frankly. And it was equally divided between white people and black people. But yeah.
Where would you, Ray, I'm fascinated by your career because I've followed it the whole time and I've known you for most of it. Where would you say, and it's like Mike, you used to be a fascist and now you are a bad rhino. Like, how do you line up with that?
How do you follow that? Good luck.
I remember him when he was a really nice fascist. But no, it's so
days.
Funny. One of the early things I had to keep saying to people is people were wondering how I could be a communist and an Eagle Scout, you know, because I was as an Eagle Scout. No, I've actually gone from being considered when I started the RFT when I was 24. I'd know it better. And through the 80s and 90s, in the 80s in particular, I was picked as the best radical, okay, by our readers. And I'm not even close to being woke. I'm pretty much, people say, oh, you're running as a centrist. I actually kind of am. I'm an old school liberal, but I'm really today, and I mean it, I'm a centrist in terms of what I want to do. I tell people, every audience I do, I want to join the Problem Solvers Caucus, which is 32 Republicans, 32 Democrats that meet in the middle. And it really is me. I mean, it maybe comes from being on Donnybrook. I don't know, but that's who I am.
So Ray is running against Ann Wagner. How's the campaign going? How are you feeling?
I've had a time in my life. I mean, I don't have any predictions to make. I'll leave that to everybody else. But it's been a really great experience. I didn't know. You know, I didn't know when I got into it if, what I'd do. And, of course, I got in a little late. And Ann Wagner's a six-term incumbent. You know, the one theme, it's in my commercial. We've got a little commercial out. And I think... The biggest thing that people respond to, and this is wherever I go in the media, is they want somebody who's got their back, who's somebody who represents them and who's there for them. And I think that's Ann Wagner and I always say the same thing to the audience. I say, look, if you're looking for somebody to hate on her, you found the wrong guy. I don't hate her. We both went to Mizzou. We both grew up in St. Louis County, went to Mizzou. I was there a decade earlier, and I point out that I will not, quoting a certain president, I will not, for political purposes, make an issue of my opponent's youth and inexperience. But I will make an issue out of her indifference to the folks in the district. And that's really, to me... I mean, obviously we have big differences on I want to bring back Roe v. Wade for America's women, and she doesn't. And there's obviously some core issues like that. But the biggest difference between us is sort of a philosophy. When you've been in the media for half a century, accessibility and transparency sort of baked into your DNA. And I think it is fair to say that, you know, after 12 years of no public town halls and no debates and no news conferences, and actually in this campaign, what's really surprising me is she hasn't done, and I know you don't want to sit here and hear me beat up on Ann, but it's like, no, she hasn't done a single event that the public could attend. I mean, other than like private, and it's just a different way of looking at your how you represent the district. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Mike, thoughts?
I think we were, Ray and I were talking about this before we walked in the studio, and I think what you're seeing on this is all a Trump-Harris bubble down from there type election season, right? And I was just telling Ray that, you know, Trump's being out in California and he's in New York. He knows he's not going to win New York. He knows he's not going to win California. But it's become a, we've got to keep the House. We've got to get the Senate. And that's kind of how this national party election seems to be what it is. You're seeing a lot more of, I'm going to vote for the party, not necessarily the candidate right now, because you want to keep a strong presence for your candidate to be able to do more. So if Trump wins and he's got the House and he's got the Senate, he's going to be able to accomplish a lot of his agenda. Same way with Harris. If she wins and she gets the House and the Senate, she's going to be able to accommodate a lot of what her plan
is.
That's
what's so great about being me. I have no allegiances to parties or gods or demagogues. And so I could easily see myself voting for Lucas Kuntz and Mike Kehoe.
You know, there you go.
That's what's so great about being me. I'm completely different than that. Speaking of Lucas, he was kind enough to have me host his rally here last Friday with Andy Cohen. And it was only my second political event ever outside of this room.
Oh, wow.
And the passion and the energy in that room was amazing. And I'm absolutely sure that Josh Hawley would have the same.
I was just at a Josh Hawley event.
It's not a Democrat thing. It's both sides.
I was at a Josh event this morning at the Veterans Museum in Ofala, Missouri. The Mid-America Veterans Museum, it was out there. And he rolled up. I thought it's interesting with Josh Hawley's doing a different take.
Did he triple park?
He brought the big bus.
All right.
So he's learned from Mike Kehoe. If you want to get attention, drive a bus.
Mm-hmm.
So he drove his bus into the Veterans Museum parking lot, not the museum itself. But before you start with me, Kevin, I just wanted to clarify.
That's funny.
I found it interesting. In the last three Josh Hawley events that I have been to, he has his wife and his daughter with him. And they are out campaigning on a regular basis. So it's sort of that you're seeing a lot more candidates, I think, humanize themselves. I mean, Trump was just at McDonald's, you know, flipping fries and in a barbershop and doing that. But I think you're seeing people, candidates, try to do that more, to try to say, look, I'm a regular person, because it gets really easy. And I'm sure, Ray, you've kind of seen this. While you've been running, it gets real easy to just be faceless attacks at a candidate. But when you humanize the person, it gets harder.
You know what, though? I agree with you. But seeing a multi-billionaire flip burgers, it doesn't make me think you're just like me. I worked at Mr. Donut, and he worked at McDonald's.
It's the connection with people. I mean, the stuff that he did at the barbershop on Fox, I thought was really good, because he connected. I mean, she is losing black men in droves right now.
You're causing Ray Hartman physical pain right now.
Sorry, Ray.
I am
curious, from Ray's standpoint, what's been your biggest surprise of what you thought running for Congress was going to be like, and what it's turned out to be?
That's a good question. And by the way, unlike David, I have been a proud and loyal Democrat for 30 long weeks. I worked for Kitz Bond, one of the great public servants, I think, in Missouri history, and he was a great governor as a Republican. But I was an independent then. I was an independent throughout my journalistic career, and I'm now a proud Democrat. But 30 weeks ago, and I do come to it with a very, and that's a big difference between myself and Ann, is that I really am kind of a nonpartisan just because of what I've done. And that doesn't, that's not pejorative, but she's been a very much a, you know, a staunch Republican. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
To your point about, I think the biggest surprise, the number of people, I was in Union at, and I, by the way, I didn't see you this morning at Holly's thing. I don't know. I must have missed you.
Were you at the back of the crowd?
I think I must have been. No, okay. I wasn't there. But I could have gone to, I didn't get to Josh's either, but I was at Union, Missouri Saturday at a Corvette show. And I won four votes, one at a time. And you know, it was a really interesting thing. I was in Union just doing some doors because Franklin County happens to be, I really like Franklin County. It's a place I've spent some time.
Tim Breaker's very proud of freedom-loving Franklin
County.
But
Union, Missouri, and I'm talking about Kit, one of my old friends, Ralph Smith, was one of the greats in Union and just a wonderful man. He passed away a few years ago, but was in Kit's team. But I have four people, and I said to him basically this, and this is, I'm the nut, this is what happened. I said, you know I'm in Trump country, because they knew me a little bit. I said, I know I'm in Trump country. I'm not going to try to talk you out of that. I said, I've got a different view, but I think I know why you like Donald Trump. And I said, correct me if I'm wrong, but you think he's got your back. I said, I'm guessing that from what I've seen, and I happen to have a different view of him, and I very much do, and I think you've got him nice and sanitized. I think he's a real, listen to his words about what he wants to do to the people he considers the enemy within. I don't think it's funny. But having said that, no sense. I learned, believe me, from campaigning. I originally used to say, why are you for him? Nope, don't bother. But I said, I said, what do you think you're looking for in a congressperson? And of course, my bias is I've got your back.
Right.
Whether it's standing up on the radioactive waste thing, which is one of my big issues with Ann, or just in general infrastructure, I got your back. And I swear to God, I have four people that have said, yeah, I'm voting for you at Trump. I thought, well, Trump Hartman's not going to look good on a bumper sticker. But, I don't know that I'm not making any predictions, but I really mean that, though. I think it's a lot of people, particularly now, are not very ideological about this as much as it's who they feel is their person. And again, I think to Mike's point, though, the biggest obstacle I'm up against, and I recognize it, is this basic, it's the tribal, either I'm going to vote Democratic or I'm going to vote Republican because that's who I am. There's fewer ticket splitters than they were in the days I worked for Kit.
You're taking the Rachel Zimmerman approach. Yesterday, I was saying I'm done with the Sunday shows because they ask too many softball questions, and they should be asking Lindsey Graham, why is your guy so bat crap crazy? And she pointed out that, well, Dave, you can do that, but you immediately alienate 50% of the people, 50% of the audience. There's never been a tighter race nationally.
Right.
And while I find it mystifying that people are so into Donald Trump, you're right, because they believe that he has their back.
Well, Brett Baer has a great thing on Fox Nation that talks about the history of political parties and kind of walking through the history, going back to George Washington all the way up until today. And one of the things, and Josh Hawley was the first person who I heard say this, Donald Trump reset the political landscape when he came in 2016. Unions used to be, for sure, Democrats all the way through, from top to bottom. Right?
My whole life.
Yep. It's not that way anymore. Yeah. I mean, now you saw with the Teamsters, 70% of Teamsters said they're voting Trump. And I heard a lady, believe it or not, I was listening to CNN this morning while I was driving to the St. Louis Chamber Economic Breakfast this morning, which was very good, by the way. But she was talking about the fact at a UAW plant in Detroit that her female friends that she works with are going to vote Harris. But the guys, and she's talking African-American men,
I believe
are voting Trump. And I said this in 2008 when Obama ran against Hillary. Everybody talks about, on the Democrat side, America is such a racist country. And I said, you know what? America is not as racist as it is sexist. Because they said, I want the black guy over the white woman. And they picked that back in 2008. And I think you're seeing that again. And Barack Obama tried to scold black men last week when he talked about it. But I think you have an awful lot, this lady's words, a lot of black men that I work with will not vote for a woman to be president. And that's an interesting dynamic in the black community that is coming to Trump. And if the Democrats don't have that black male voter, this is over and Trump wins in a landslide.
And if we not to play Donnybrook with Mr. Elam. I think
I can
that,
be Charlie.
Yeah, that, yeah, nobody wants that. No, no, but yeah, Mr. Brennan's listening. Sorry about that.
No, he's listening. He's always listening.
He's listening. Charlie's
he could be in this room right
now. He's one of the best people ever, even though I was, had some trouble trying to explain stuff to him on the air. But you know, Mike, I will say this. You're right about the gender gap. There's no question there's a monstrous gender gap, what you said. I'm hoping the Republicans think, because I'm on the other tribe, I hope the Republicans are counting on black men, because I've seen that, but I think that's... I think that might be fool's gold. I don't believe it. In other words, I've seen there's, and again, because we're in different silos, it depends on where you're getting your information.
True.
I think the Democrats have been guilty in the past of expecting certain things that weren't going to come true. I think, you know, I don't think that if I was on the Republican side that I'd be counting on that one at the end of the day. Again, could be wrong, but I think a lot of it is, that's one of those that will, I think, is a little dreamy on the Republican side. But, you know, and it isn't like the Democrats don't. I'm trying to think of examples where the Democrats just assumed that they would have, say, the Hispanic vote or something,
right,
and it didn't come through the way they thought. I don't think the Republicans ought to be counting on the black male vote. We'll see. That's just my own analysis. I'm not trying to make up. I just think that might be a little overconfident.
Take a quick break here. We're talking to Ray Hartman and Mike Elam. More after this on the DGS and KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have about 90 seconds left. Ray, my buddy, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on, Dave, and being here with Mike. This is at all of you guys. It's a great, great honor. I feel really good about the decision to run. It's been really, people have been so nice. And I kid about the Democratic Party, but having not been in it, I've been really warmly received. It's been a much better experience. I don't know how to explain it. Just everybody's been very, helpful. And you know, you've got to understand, from where I come from, I started the Riverfront Times at 24. I am a pure capitalist. I mean, people say whatever they want about me, but the Riverfront Times was as capitalistic a venture as you could have, because we were making a lot of people with money mad. And we either worked because we rang cash registers or didn't. And that is sort of the prism that I come from. And it's a different one for most Democrats. Mm-hmm. I come into this as somebody who passionately believes in free market enterprise. And, you know, and it's not, I'm not, people are either going to accept my case, which is that I'm going to be there. I'm going to be holding news availabilities every time I'm in the car in the district. That's the big difference between myself and my opponent in this race, is I'm going to be there and have St. Louis's back. We're going to see how it goes. I think it's going to be, I will say, I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think.
Yeah, I wish you luck. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.